The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against you. May be seated. There's a Johnson Central football game going on. Look, we got people here in the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm a sports fan, but if I was more excited about a particular ball game than I was Jesus, you know, I wouldn't be where I need to be with God, would I, Pastor? We're to love God more than anything else. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to ball games, going fishing, hunting, or whatever, going shopping, ladies. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to put Him first. Christ said in Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Next is 20:3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. An idol is anything that becomes more important in our life than Jesus. If you would turn to Acts chapter 8. Now I do want to talk about revival. There are great moves of God taking place around the world during difficult, tragic, and dangerous times. I've heard people say, well, it's never been like this before. Now, there is coming a time you could actually say that. In Matthew 24:21, Christ said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. That's a quotation of Daniel 12:1. We're not there yet. But I believe we're going in that direction. And I believe the church will be raptured out of here. This is not an escapism mentality that we that believe in the rapture implement. It's because it's in the Bible. But we are going to face difficult times. I've got good friends of mine. They think we're going halfway through the tribulation. And if we do, everything's going to be all right anyway. Jesus is Lord over all. But I want to take the first train leaving the station. What about you? When he toots, I'm ready to scoot. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And it says that so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have our work to do, saints of God. I was at a conference last week, and with people that are going into dangerous areas of the world, and they're daring to preach the gospel, and many souls are being saved. You and I are blessed to live in the United States of America. But to walk with the Lord, we're going to have to step out of the boat from time to time. Sometimes we've got to be moved out of our comfort zone. Look at Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies and were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That happens when the Word of God's being preached. Notice, he went down to the people. We might have to go down or we might have to go up. Psalm 121:1 lets me know that David could not have been a Nebraskan, an Iowan. He couldn't have been a Minnesotan, but he could have been a West Virginian or a Kentuckian. Psalm 121:1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. In Revelation 4:1, the angel said, come on up, John, to heaven, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now, I do believe we're in the last days. Once again, I've said this probably 50 times here before, but we're in the last days. And we have been since Pentecost. Because in Acts 2:15, Peter said, these are not drunk with wine, as you suppose, seeing it's about the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter referred to Pentecost as the beginning of the last days. And you might say, well, you know what? That's been 2,000 years ago. But understand with God, one day is like 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Psalm 90:4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. So from the Father's view, Jesus, His Son, has been at the right hand of God. We got a phone call yesterday, and there's a teaching being circulated that Jesus didn't go down into the lower parts of the earth, and that really, after you die, you're really unconscious until the resurrection. Well, that couldn't be the case. Amen. In Luke 16, 19 through 31, Jesus spoke, and this was not a parable. And I'll tell you why it wasn't a parable. He mentioned the man by name. In no parable did Jesus mention somebody by name. But let me say this. Even if you believe it's a parable, it has to be true. Jesus doesn't build truth on a falsehood. The rich man died. The beggar died. And the rich man saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water, touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, you had good things in your lifetime. And Lazarus had poor things. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. We can't go to you and you can't come to us. Amen. So when you die, you don't go into a state of unconsciousness to the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, is Jesus sleeping right now? No. Hebrews 7:25 says, He ever lives to make intercession for us. That means that He's interceding for you and I right now. Amen. And we're with Him. Amen. So, Jesus did go down into the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians 4:9 says, before He ascended, He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Where'd He go? Psalm 16:10, David wrote this 3,000 years ago. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Then Peter quotes that in that great Pentecostal message in Acts 2:27. Then Peter goes on to explain. He says, men and brethren, the patriarch David is dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. He spake not beforehand concerning himself, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. He spake beforehand concerning Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now, I will make this statement. I hear people saying that Jesus went to the torment side. I'm not going to say one way or the other. I don't see Scripture that tells me if he went just to the torment side or just the paradise side. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. This isn't essential to salvation, but I'll tell you what I think. How many believe Jesus paid the total price for salvation? Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus died for you and me. Now, if a sinner dies in their sin, where do they go? A sinner dies in their sin, where do they go? When Jesus died, our sin was on Him. Make no mistake about it. People try to twist your words. Jesus never sinned. But He took our sin on Himself. In John 8:29, He said, I do all things that please my Father. Luke 23:3, and also in verse 14, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Amen. I find no fault in this man. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, talking about God the Father, hath made him, talking about God the Son, to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our sin was placed upon Jesus when he was dying on the cross. And before he went up, he went down. Now, I believe he paid the total price. But I don't have scripture that says he went to the torment side. But I'm telling you, I believe he paid the total price for our salvation. One thing about it, he did go into paradise to bring those righteous souls. Now, those righteous souls, they lived by faith in the coming of the Messiah. They were in the comfort side of paradise. In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also we went, and preached unto the spirits in prison. Yeah. Psalm 68:18, he said that he went down, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Same thing is said in Ephesians 4, 8, 9, and 10. So before he went up, he went down. He preached to those lights of souls. Now, when Christ rose from the dead, many bodies of the saints came out of the ground too. But he was the first fruits. Come on, saints. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ, the first fruits. Yes. Amen. Where's those first fruits? Matthew 27:52. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Those are the first fruits. When Christ comes back, if we're alive, we're going up. And if we die, our spirit goes on up to heaven. And our body is either buried or cremated or eaten by a shark at sea or whatever. But at the resurrection, that body will become a glorified body. And we'll be in a glorified body. By the way, like the Son of God. Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven, from which also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. So, this teaching is that when you die, you just sleep. What about Hebrews 12:1? We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There are people that died before you and me, and it says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We just need to go what the Bible says. You know, Pastor, many years ago, I got saved as a young man, and I just began to read the Bible, and I believed what I read. And I would go ask, and I had sometimes responses like this, you know, stay away from that. It'll get you in trouble. You know, just you need, especially, you know, like tongues or praying for the sick, stay away from that. You know what that did, Scotty? I just wanted to read more of what they didn't want me to know. I've said this here before. On the front of a package of cigarettes, it has a warning label. Warning! The Surgeon General has determined that smoking cigarettes may be hazardous to your health. We could put a warning label on the front of every Bible. Warning! Religionists and traditionists have determined that reading this book may be hazardous to your preconceived notions and ideas about God. Hallelujah, saints of God! Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. We just need to read the Bible and believe what God says. Now see, he went down. Philip went down to Samaria. We got to be willing to go if God sends us somewhere. Or we need to be ready to witness if God brings somebody our way. In the conference, it was called the Sound Conference, but the preachers were preaching on winning the lost, discipling the lost after they're saved, and then telling them to go back out.
Well, you know, they got to be saved 5 years and learn about the covenants of God. Look, that's why you have a pastor.
But we're born to reproduce. Dawson Trotman wrote a little mini book, Born to Reproduce. Go forth and multiply. That applies in the spiritual realm also. We need to be soul winners for Jesus, looking for opportunities and willing to tell somebody about the Lord. D.L. Moody made a promise to God that he would try to win somebody to the Lord every day of his life. And sometimes late in the evening, here he was tired, he'd go down the streets of Chicago to witness to people. You know what? In that conference, they were asking, you know, would you, you know what? I raised my hand. Preacher, you going outside all the time? No, I've got telemarketers calling me. Woo-hoo! Every one of you ought to say yes. I witness to somebody every day in my life. In fact, I have a lot of fun with the telemarketers, and I'll not get into all that. But I've talked with them about the Lord. Kathy talks to them about the Lord all the time. And we've won people to the Lord. Now, maybe it wasn't sincere, and I believe some of these confessions over the phone were sincere. But we need to be active soul winners and be intentional about it. Well, somebody comes to ask me about the Lord, I'll talk to them. What about you going and talking to them about the Lord? What about that woman in John chapter 4? She came to Christ. He was getting water. Well, the Jews, Samaritans don't have any dealings with each other. You don't have anything to draw the water out. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who you were talking to, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water. Then he told her about her life. Listen, the supernatural will begin to operate if you and I will step out of the boat and trust God. The supernatural. But I don't have to get the gab. Don't give me that. If we get on a subject you like talking about, you'll talk about it for an hour and a half. If we fall in love with Jesus, that's who we're going to want to talk about. You know, whatever you love, that's what you want to talk about. If you love the Kentucky Wildcats, before too long, you're going to talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. I got a big amen back here. But whatever is in your heart, that's what you're going to talk about. We need to stay in love with Jesus. Years ago, I was on a radio program, and it went to a lot of churches across the country. And the pastor was asking me, he said, Mike, I've known you all these years. He said, how do you stay faithful to your wife? How do you keep that joy? I said, it's no big secret. And I said, stay in love with Jesus. Stay in love with Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. Christ quoted that in Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep those two commandments, you've kept the entire law. If you love God and love your neighbor, you're not going to lie about your neighbor. You're not going to cheat your neighbor. You're not going to steal from your neighbor. These people have to carry on a book to see now. I don't do this. And I got to do this. That's legalism, ritualism, and that's bondage. To stay in love. We need to read the Bible so we know what's wrong. In the last 20 or 30 years, I've had pastors that talk to me. I've seen it in different churches where people are living together. They're not married. They want to get involved in the youth group. And they want to get involved in this and that. And I had a few pastors, man, don't they know? I said, no! There are people in America now, they don't know who Jesus is. Some of these young people in urban areas have talked about Jesus and they said, you know who Jesus is? Well, no, I don't know. Does he live down the road here? Come on. Yeah. Don't assume that. I said, just preach what the Bible says. And I've had pastors tell me, you know what? I started preaching that, and they said, you know, we got to get married. You need to get married. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I didn't say that. God said that. I don't like you saying that, Mike Manuel. You'll take it up with my employer. God said that. But people need to know. It's the truth, John 8:32. It's going to set us free. Philip went down to Samaria. He went to where the people were. If you're going fishing, I doubt if you'll catch many fish in the Mojave Desert. Come on. Hallelujah, or the Sahara Desert. You better go to where there's some water. You better go to where there's some fish. That's where you're going to catch fish. I've jokingly told people before, Michael, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing some fishing. Well, I didn't know you. I love to fish. Wow, that's great, man. Did you catch any? I said, well, 2 days ago I got two. How big were they? I said, one was 6'1" and another about 5'7". What are you talking about? I said, people. Christ said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, sometimes people just don't understand. Sometimes a curveball might be thrown at us, but I don't know if you heard this. There was an older man that backed his car into a brand new Lamborghini car. And these two young guys got out of the car and they went up to the driver's side. And the old man rolled the window. They said, you just backed your car into our brand new car. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I'm sorry. He said, do you have insurance? He said, yes. Well, we also want $10,000 cash. So let me call my son. He trains dolphins. So he made the phone call. His son said, Dad, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And the guy pulled the phone away. He said, you better get here with $10,000. I said, I'll be there, fellas. I'll take care of it. 10 minutes later, his son showed up, got out of his car, whipped both those guys up one side, down the other, went over to his dad, said, Dad, keep getting this wrong. So what is it? I don't train dolphins. I train SEALs, Navy SEALs. Hallelujah. And sometimes people will put on a pretense. Pretend to do something that they're not really doing. It's like the pastor's going to pay a visit unexpectedly, and they have to get the Bible out of the closet and get the dust off and put it. A holy hush hit the congregation.
There was a guy that was opening up a legal practice in this town, and then he was in his office, and this guy came in one door out. He put his finger up, picked the phone up, started talking and talking and talking, and he told the guy to come in. He said, "You know, I'm real busy, but if I can help you, I'll help you." He said, "Well, I don't know what legal trouble you're in." He said, "But I'll help you." He said, "No, I'm not in no legal trouble." "Well, what are you here for?" He said, "I'm here to hook your phone up." Some of y'all get that next Tuesday. Amen. Jesus sent us to go out, Mark 16:50, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. We need to get back to preaching Christ. Preach Jesus. Preach the Word of God. It's hearing about the Lord to bring salvation. Lift Him up. Glorify Him. Center and focus your message and your life around the Lord Jesus Christ. When you lift Him up, John 12:32, He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, He was talking about His impending crucifixion, but also, as you and I magnify the Lord, when you magnify something, you enlarge it. Psalm 44:8, "We make our boast in God all the day long. Praise His name forever." The name of Jesus carries authority in heaven, earth, and hell. Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The name of the Lord Jesus Christ carries weight in heaven among angels, on earth among men, and in hell among demons. He said in Mark 16:17, "In my name you'll cast out devils." In John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." That name is a wonderful name. Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." The name of Jesus means salvation. When it says, "Whoever calls on," now get this, "the name of the Lord," not "the name of a Lord." Christ said in Matthew 24:4, that's actually the first sign of verse 3, as He was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came to Him and said, "Master, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming, and of the end of the world or the age?" He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That means they'll come saying that they're the Christ, or they'll come and they'll say Jesus is Christ, but what they teach and preach is not Bible. Oh, the cultists are, "Look, I'm a young Christian. I got saved back in March 23rd, 1975. And out in front of the AP food store, it's a couple months later, these people said they were taking up money for missions work. "Man, I put $25 in their little bucket, and I'm feeling good." And then I found out a couple days later, they were with the Unification Church of Reverend Sun Young Moon over in Korea. It was a cult. Now, let me say this. I believe I got credit by God because I thought I was given to a missionary endeavor, legitimate. Now, if I'd have went back the next day and gave money, not only was I at fault, but I'm to be blamed. If Rick and I go hunting, and we don't know it, but we're on a protected area, and we're hunting where we should be hunting, and the game warden said, "Well, you know you can't be hunting it." "Well, we didn't know." "Well, you and I are at fault. You couldn't blame us, Rick. We didn't know. But if we go up there the next day and go to the same place, not only are we at fault, we're also to be blamed." James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's a sin of omission, not doing what you should do. 1 John 3:4 says, "Sin's a transgression of the law." That's a sin of commission, doing something you shouldn't do. A lot of people focus on that, but I believe the first sin committed was Adam when he allowed his wife to converse with the devil and he didn't do anything about it. How do you know? 1 Timothy 2:14 said, "Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Adam was not deceived. Now guess who God came to first after the disobedience and the transgression occurred? He went to Adam. You know what Adam said? "Well, the woman you gave, that's your fault." We live in a victimization society. Everybody wants to blame somebody else for their situation. But look, we are where we are today, or we're not where we want to be today because of decisions we made in days gone by. The good news is this. You can change your destiny. You have a free will. That answers a lot of
questions right there. I think I might have mentioned this, maybe not. Many years ago, Kathy and I were coming back. We were down in Punta Gorda, Florida. That's near North Point, and right south, I think, of Sarasota. Anyway, we're coming back, preaching at Praise Tabernacle for Jack and Marsha Ruff. And I'm going to not drive it all the way home, but I'm going to drive up to northern Georgia. So we stopped at a gas station there outside of Tampa off of 75. And I'm filling up my tank with gas, and I had a blue jeans, a T-shirt on. And this guy is on the other side. He said, "I wish somebody could tell me, if there's a God, why did 6 million of my kinsmen get murdered by Hitler in World War II? And he turned around and said, "Do you have an answer?" I said, "I think I do." He said, "Well, I've never heard an answer." I said, "Well, there's something you left out of the equation. What's that?" I said, "His name's the devil, D-E-V-I-L. Huh? I said, "You're laying this blame on God. God didn't want any of these things to happen on the earth. Wasn't His will for man to sin and for us to die and grow old and have murder and rape, pillage, plunder? All these things that's going on, worry, frustration, fear. That wasn't God's will. But man opened the door when he disobeyed God." And I said, "And the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to reconcile us back to God." I said, "It wasn't God's fault that 6 million of your kinfolk were murdered and killed. It was the malice of Satan, and it was the malice of mankind that brought that about." And he got quiet, and he said, "Well, you're the first one that had an answer halfway that made sense." And I told him, I said, "God's a good God. And God's not just a good God some of the time. People have this thing all mixed up. They think God is out to get people. God's not out to get people. Oh, He's out to get you saved. He came to seek and save the lost," Luke 19:10. "He's not out to harm you." Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them that trust in Him." Christ said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is a good God all the time. And the devil's a bad devil all the time. Something bad might happen. Things could go wrong. And the devil whispers in your ear, "Why did God do that? Why did God do that?" The devil is a master of subterfuge and camouflage. What if somebody, wore a green coat, pants, top like this, and they run around the neighborhood, and it's just what I'm wearing, run around the neighborhood and set fire to things? Well, that preacher's doing it. You know, no. He camouflaged himself. He dressed up as me. Maybe he put on a little mustache or whatever. That's what the devil... 2 Corinthians 11:14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, to be no great thing, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Genesis 3:1, that the serpent was more subtle. And that word means, in the Hebrew, cunning, crafty, and deceptive. He'll make you think, or try to make you think, it's God. But if you'll stay with the Word of God, see, the Word of God's the truth. And the Word of God will expose the lies of the devil. Don't let your mind drift off and try to figure a thing. You know, people, they have trouble with the thought of hell. And there's a good preacher friend of mine, loves God, and their church is doing good. And I was there months ago, and he was talking to me, and asking me, he said, "Mike, man, you know, you think hell, you know, forever? That's, man, it just doesn't seem right." I said, "Now, here's where you and me will make a mistake if we try to rationalize things out. Because you know what you're saying, if you and I think that way? God, I know what you said, but you're not right. You know, you can think all you want to. Hell's not fair. It doesn't matter. God set up the rules of the universe. And He decided what the punishment for dying in your sin would be." And he said, "Well, you know, it shouldn't do." But, oh, so you're saying your sense of fairness and judgment and justice is better than God. Well, it's not. Amen. Because if God allowed sin into heaven, sin would be contaminated and heaven would be like hell. Hallelujah. He preached Christ to them. Now get this. And the people with one accord gave heed. There's where you have a move of God. I talk to some of my preacher friends in this conference, but I've said this for years. I've had people say, Mike, when are we going to have a move of God? I said, well, when are we going to want a move of God? You see, it can disrupt things. It can disrupt things. Rodney Howard Brown came to America with $300 in his pocket, and Drummond Tom gave him a credit card. They estimate they've won 40 million people worldwide to Jesus. If you go down to the River Church and see what God has done there. And I've had people say, well, you know, Rodney, here's what I'd say about Rodney Howard Brown. If I would describe him in one sentence, I would say this. He was a man that sold his will out to God. Sold out to God. When he came to America, he'd go to these little places. He took his family with him. Then he went to Alaska. Nobody wants to have a long revival in Alaska. But he did. I was the third person he got when he got to America. He called. Tom called me. He came in 87. This had to be in the late fall or maybe October, November of 86. Brother Mike, I'm bringing Rodney Howard and Adonica Brown to America. He has revival burning in his heart. Well, okay, Drummond. And then a few months later, Brother Mike, Rodney Howard will be here in a couple of months. He's got revival burning in his heart. So could you set him a meeting up? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll try to. So I talked to Pastor Huffman, talked to Pastor Greg Mayhorn. We just started Victory Ministries in 1986. I said, there's this guy coming from South Africa, and he's supposed to have revival burning in his heart. Would you guys feel good about him letting him? He said, well, Mike, if you say so, I said, I don't know him. But Drummond Tom says he's all right. Well, Drummond says he's all right. Drummond Tom was a great preacher. You heard him, didn't you? Did you ever hear him, Pastor Mike? Was he a great preacher? He died February 6, 2011 on Super Bowl Sunday. Walked into his bedroom in Louisville, Kentucky, fell over on the bed, and he was in heaven. So Roddy came and spoke. Probably there were 50 or 60 minutes. He got 7 or 8 meetings out of that. But I mean, he was sold out to God. And God honored that. And if a revival broke out, he would just go with it. He would go with it. Sometimes things happen. But you see, sometimes people try to make things happen. And if you try to make it happen and it's not God, all you're going to do is wear out the saints of the Most High. I know the Antichrist wears out the saints of the Most High, but sometimes, if we don't watch out, we wear out the saints of the Most High. I was at a church over here in Kentucky, but I'm not going to tell you where, and it's not too far from here. The pastor and his wife are both with the Lord now. They heard me preach in Hurley, Virginia, like in August or July, at Darrell Davis's church. And he asked me to come preach revival for him. Well, I was booked up to January. And I said, well, I'm going to Florida second week. Well, come the first week of January. I said, well, okay. We go over there and Romy Swanson, remember Romy? Well, he came down from Huntington. He wanted to get on some of these services. They started singing at 7 o'clock. And we listened to 3 hours and 20 minutes of unanointed singing. Sister so-and-so, come on. Well, I don't feel like, oh, come on. Well, okay, if you want me to. Man, if you don't want to sing for God or testify for God, I'm not going to try to make you do it. But you need to do whatever you do with joy. I mean, you get to see these praise team up here. They're in it. They might not be feeling good, but they still have a smile on their face. No, it's a non sequitur if I'm up in here. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We'll notify your face if it is. 3 hours and 20 minutes of unanointed singing. Now, the last guy got up, he got up at 20 minutes to 10. I'm thinking, Brother Manuel, when he finishes, you're going to preach. I said, well, you know, another 5 or 10 minutes. Oh, 5 or 10 minutes. He sang for 20 minutes, reached in the vestibule, pulled out a notebook. He pulled out a notebook. He sang 20 more minutes. It was snowing on our way over to this place. And it snowed. We wasn't expecting, but it was 3 or 4 inches of snow when we headed back to Logan. But anyway, so I get up to preach. I preach my message. I think what they were used to having was a lot of singing. I think that's how they had a good crowd, because about probably everybody sang. And so, I preach for close to an hour, and I minister to people. It's 10 minutes till 12. Now, Kathy and I are driving through 3 or 4 inches of snow and ice to get back home. And Kathy said, "Wow." I said, "Honey, were we in church or at amateur hour?" When I'd see Rumble Swanson, he'd look at me and said, "Mike, how's everything going over?" So I said, "Well, they have a lot of singing." He'd laugh his head off. I go over the next night. He gets up. "Saints of God, we've just entered this brand new year. You're going to have many more services." Now, Kathy, we had to, where you could showcase your talents. Where you could showcase your talents. This man has a lot of good things to say. And they would get me up about 8:15, 8:20. Listen, an hour and 20 minutes of unanointed singing is a lot better than 3 hours and 20 minutes of unanointed singing. Amen. And actually, that revival went to, and I left the next Saturday to go to Jacksonville, Florida. I drove it all the way down. But we were there Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and we went all the way to Friday. And we had several people on there, 26, 27 people saved. But, you know, but once again, he got me up about 8:15 or 8:20. I mean, you know, but if it's a move of God, that's one thing. But if you're just trying to draw it out, that's another. So we have to just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we need to sell out to the will of God. Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ's name, and the people with one accord gave heed. This is important, that people will listen to the Word of God. We need to pray. And in the conference too, Dr. Lee from South Korea, he took over for Dr. Cho. Dr. Cho died September 13, 2021. Dr. Cho got saved back in, I think, the late 50s, early 60s. South Korea was not a Christian nation. Was not a Christian nation. Today, South Korea is 47% Christian. And I mean, when they say they're a Christian, they mean it. People in America might say, "Oh, 65% of people are Christian." Huh? Don't believe that. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every work reprobate, Titus 2:15. They profess that they are. But anyway, Dr. Lee was talking about how they're praying. He said, now they're praying. Look, you have to adjust it when you can. I'll tell you this now. I'm more sensitive to prayer now than I have been in the last several years. I'm praying more, and I'm going to pray more. We need to pray. Tear down strongholds. Pray for the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course to be glorified as it is among you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men. All men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. But he said, pray that the Word of God have free course. We need to come against the blinders of Satan in the name of Jesus for people's ears and eyes, spiritual ears and eyes, to open up to hear the Word of God. They gave heed. Then the miracles took place. I think sometimes people think, well, the evangelist comes and he's got a revival in his back pocket. He's supposed to have this section of sinners and this section over here of the palsy and this section. And like it's a show. We're talking about the lives of people. I believe in miracles. I believe God's a miracle worker. It's not just something that I've read about, heard about. I've experienced it. I've seen it. And I believe miracles will accompany this last day end time move of God. And it's in the Bible. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. But we need to get excited about the Lord. We need to pray. It says they gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, because he's preaching the Word of God. Now in Acts 17:11, talking about the Bereans, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily where these things are so. You need to read your Bible, and when a preacher's preaching, make sure he's staying in the Bible. Down through the years, I've jokingly said, I know I've had to say this before, The people that's cornered me after church has been older preachers. Brother, one preacher cornered me, said, there's a verse you quoted. I looked it up and it is in the Bible. I said, what's your problem? I said, which verse is it? The one that says God's laughing in heaven. I said, Psalm 2:4. Yes. What do you think God's laughing? Look, he was upset to find out God was laughing. Well, there's a little Dennis and Menace in all of us, and I couldn't resist the temptation. I said, why, brother, God watches you and I all day long. Sometimes we're like the Three Stooges. They walked in this office one day, a man stood up behind the desk and said, gentlemen, they were, where? Where? Gentlemen, where? No, and I minister from Ephesians 5:1 somewhere, years ago, be followers of God as your children. That word in the Greek, mimetmai, means imitate. We're to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We're not Jesus. That's a New Age lie. But we're the sons and daughters of God and bear His image in the earth. Amen. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. So I preached on where to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And he said, preacher, you're preaching something here, and I want to know where you're coming from. I said, well, what is it? Are you saying we're to walk around acting like little Jesuses? Why, yes, brother. God doesn't want you and I to act like little devils. Amen. 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 And when we preach, we need to be bold in our preaching. Amen. The last thing people need when people go to church, those preachers, They act like they really believe. Well, we do. If we don't, we're hypocrites. Amen. 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 You know what? If you go to a lawyer and he starts citing stare decisis, previous cases, and legalese, legal terminology, you know what? He just knows too much. I don't want somebody that knows that much. No, you wouldn't. You want the best lawyer you can get. If you go to a doctor, he starts using medical terms. Oh, man. No, I want somebody more on my level. But you want somebody talking about eternity and about spiritual matters that don't know what they're talking about. Well, it could be this. It could be that. Listen, this is the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help me God. It is. It's the Bible. And the Bible's not folklore, fantasy. It's not legend, superstition. It's the truth. Historically, archaeologically, scientifically, and it speaks about the nature of man. It is the Word of God. And God will honor His Word. And you get the people, and then it says, miracles took place. Miracles. I'll close on this. Galatians 3:1. Oh, please, Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth among you, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. You receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? We're talking, this is a spiritual matter. These are the things of God. You let one miracle take place and you can have a revival. I told you about the blind man at Ball's Chapel in Sharples, West Virginia. Man, I'm pastoring, so it had to be from 78 to 81. John Ingram with me. I'll just cut it down to this. We went up there. There's 15 people there. Listen, it was not a full gospel church. But the guy there had asked me to come preach, and I know you're full gospel. We need to hear the Word of God. I said, okay. So I got somebody to fill in for me Sunday night. And John went with me up there. Well, there's a man that came in blind. And he's back. Not purblind, partly blind, or not 80-20 or what. No, this man was blind. Well, John was great. He sang, and I got to preach, and some said no. So, you know, before I preach, those who want to, let's praise God. Well, me and John, there's a guy over here, somebody over here, and that's it. And they're like, praising God. I'm praising God about 15 minutes. I mean, really, God's presence. I said, wow, I don't know if they're picking this up. And now my eyes were closed, Pastor Mike. I heard a death scream, and I looked, and I saw this lady, and I said, what happened? And I looked, and another lady was passed out back there, and then I saw the blind man running around the church. Do you know where their faith was at? They wouldn't let him drive them home. I taught at Omar Junior High School the next day. Gloria King, Larry King, they're now down in North Carolina, African-American couple, and I helped her with a prayer club. That's when I was doing some substitute teaching. She came up, she said, Brother Emmanuel, everybody heard about you healing that blind man. I said, Gloria, don't spread lies like that. No, Larry and I know him. Larry and I said, yes, that's right. No, he's healed. I said, I know he's healed, but you know what you just said? You said I healed him. I didn't heal him. Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him. Do you know we had a revival? We didn't have to advertise on the radio. We didn't have to put it in the Logan banner. That church filled up with people. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, just getting started here. Praise God. We'll have a great time tomorrow night. Let's magnify the Lord. Father, I thank you for the gathering of saints here on this Friday night. Lord, we came out to sing your praise. You're worthy of our praise. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love being in your presence. We need you, God. And we're going to make ourselves available like never before. Jesus, we can read in the Word of God and see your coming is soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know it's soon. And Lord, we know that we're going to face opposition. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Lord, I thank you for those that came here tonight. And Lord, we're going to come here tomorrow night with expectation. Luke 8:40 says, then they gladly received him because they were all waiting for him. Whew. God's miracle power is here right now. God's miracle power is here right now. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Lay hands on your wife right there. Yes. I'm speaking healing into your body. You've had pain. This pain sometimes is excruciating. Now, it can let up at times, but sometimes it gets excruciating. Yes, it hurts in the joints, but it sort of moves. It'll move. I come against this. Pain, go! In Jesus' name. Go! In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm seeing more miracles take place than I have seen in my life. I believe people are realizing, you know, we need to be up and about the Father's business. Let our mind wander and drift. Whew. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God's going to give you peace about this matter. You'll have a green light for what He wants you to do, and you'll have a red light for things that will just eat up your time. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. Jerry, I believe you have came to a turning point. And you're going to get closer to God than you've ever been in your life. You're moving in that direction, Jerry. Hallelujah. The devil tried to throw roadblocks and get you sidetracked. But Jerry, I'll tell you, there's something that's churning on the inside of you, my brother. Saints of God, let's stay. You know what? Acts 2:42, they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer and in breaking of bread and of fellowship. Verse 47 says, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus, Jerry, some things trying to pull you back, you're just going to fall by the wayside, brother. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no man, having putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, Pastor Mike, you and I have talked about, you know, when you left to go full time, you left a job. I left teaching. I had well-meaning faculty members trying to talk me out of going full time as a minister. Trying to say, you know, you could do it on a weekend. It's not a weekend deal. Yeah, but are you going to leave the security of the West Virginia's teacher retirement center? Let me tell you what happened the next year. I was 86. And I can already most remember the man's last name. He was over the Secretary of Treasury of West Virginia. They made bad investments with the teacher's retirement fund. It was either $186 or $286 million they lost. Some of these people I saw years later, one guy, and I consoled him, Rick. I didn't rub it in because he didn't want me to leave.
He said, well, if I knew this, Jonah and I said, we'd have done something else. We thought we was going to have retirement, be able to go down south on all this, and he wasn't going to be able to. And he's had to pay more for his insurance and everything else. And, you know, on the inside, some, you know, I said, I didn't do that. You know, that would have been wrong of me to do that. I prayed for him. And he did get a breakthrough. And they got to move to another location. They were happy. But he's wanted, didn't want me to. The thing that, remember, Peter didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. So get the hint, Satan. He wasn't the devil. The devil was using him. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Don't let a who, what, a when, where, or how stop you from doing the will of God. Let's magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. There's a lady back here and God's going to touch right here. This lady right here, are you all friends? Okay, you a believer? You a believer? Okay, lay hands on her. Look, I know you all are members in good standing. Would you all lay hands on her too? Right here, there. Stretch forth your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you've got a big smile on your face and you're happy in the Lord. But from time to time, out of nowhere, the devil tries to bring depression on you. I come against that. Isaiah 61:3 says, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Whenever a depressive, oppressive depression tries to come on you, look, you don't think that's what you want to do, but what you need to do is praise God. Why? Psalm 68:1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also hate him flee from before him. So from time to time when this tries to happen, you just praise it away. Praise it out. You know that shout it out commercial with the detergent? What about praising it out? Woo! Glory to God. Man, I love coming over here because when people worship God, they worship God. They sing to the Lord, not singing to you and me. Yes, they've got beautiful voices. Yes, they practiced. But they're singing to Him. Be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Stand up to your feet. Praise God. I went a little long, but I'll tell you what. It's exciting, isn't it? You know what? It's not going to get down.